Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and you are listening to the Voices of Courage show this morning. You know what? There are many challenges facing our nation today, but one of the biggest challenges we're having is with our healthcare system, which has actually stopped working for many doctors, nurses, and practitioners. You know, the burden of harm conveyed by the collective impact of all our healthcare quality problems is staggering. Then we have things on top of that, like censorship and overregulation. So let me ask you some questions. Why are we not getting the right healthcare in the United States, this country that has more than anything? Why is our healthcare so messed up right now? Well, we're going to answer that. We're going to answer questions like, why are people being wrongly diagnosed continually? Why are people dying still? Why are people just not having confidence in their doctors anymore? You know, what do we need to change? And, you know, how do we create a system that we can all trust? Those are some of the questions we're going to be answering today. And I have a couple of really special guests. Before I get to my guests, we're going to take a quick break for a commercial, and then we're going to get into these topics and so much more. This could be one of the most important shows we do all year, so I hope you'll pay close attention.
I've written a new book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Unlock Your Genius, Your Soul, and to Transform Your Life. So it's daily strategies. I wrote this specifically because over the years I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of my clients that, listen, a little inspiration doesn't get it. A little wisdom doesn't get it. A little action doesn't get it. It's daily, dripping on the mind, dripping on those actions, taking specific focused actions towards your dreams and setting specific goals, right? Goals help us to transform the little self into the possibilities that we have in each of us. All of us are given dreams. And if you're sitting there and you're not manifesting that dream, it's just a little bit of you is chipping away every day that's not happening until you finally wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to connect with something greater than myself, my force, my God, my life, my universe, whatever. I don't care what you call it. You tune into that force, and that's what's going to get you to the next level.
All righty. Well, I'm so excited to have my two guests this morning. We have, I'd like to formally introduce both of the doctors. First, we have Dr. Marilyn Singleton. She is the past president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, advocating for independent medical practice. In addition to the years of private practice in anesthesiology and pain management, she also practiced health law. She has published numerous op-eds and appeared on nationwide radio and television and so much more. We'll be getting into her background a little more as we go along the show. Also, I'd like to introduce Dr. Jane Orient. She obtained her undergraduate degree in chemistry and mathematics from the University of Arizona in Tucson, and her MD from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons in 1974. After completing her residency at Parkland Memorial Hospital and University of Arizona Affiliated Hospitals, she became an instructor at the University of Arizona College of Medicine and a staff physician at the Tucson Veterans Administration Hospital. She has been in solo practice since 1981, and she is currently president of Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. She's the author of Your Doctor Is Not In, Healthy Skepticism About National Healthcare, Sutton's Law, a novel about where the money and medicine is. Ladies, doctors, welcome to the show. This is such an important show today. We've got so much going on in the nation. All right. Dr. Jane, let me start with you. What is your take on the healthcare system today that we currently have in place? What's happening? Why is it not working for so many people?
I think it's bad and getting worse. Most patients don't even have a doctor anymore. That means a person who is dedicated to their well-being, a person who keeps their records confidential, a person who is acting according to what he believes is best for the patient instead of what's best for the corporate employer. A minority of doctors, I believe, now are in a truly independent private practice. Most of them, if not directly employed by a big system, are dependent on the contracts of that system. And instead of thinking for themselves and being dedicated to a person they've known for a long time, they are tied to the drop-down menu in the electronic health system, which is just sucking in a lot of information, making it available to all types of third parties who don't have the patient's best interest at heart. And the patient will get whatever the system thinks he wants to have. I don't think we need to improve the system. I think we need to go back to the non-system of individual patient-physician relationships. That you need a doctor who cares about you and who has enough independence to do what he thinks is best and is not constantly fearing that he's going to get censored, fired, sham peer-reviewed, made it impossible forever to practice again if he dares to deviate, and especially in these COVID days, if he dares to deviate from the therapeutic nihilism, the don't treat, don't do anything for patients until they're sick enough to go to the hospital.
That is a big challenge. I know we've all known friends and family members that have passed through this pandemic, and it doesn't seem to get any better. But, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of people that don't even trust going to their doctors right now. Dr. Singleton, I'd like you to answer that. Why is that, do you think?
Well, part of the reason is people are hearing, specifically with COVID, people are hearing about treatments. They're hearing about people who have done well. They wonder why, and they say, we got early treatment. And it's very sad when you can look at television and they're advertising a drug called Abreva, telling you to use it early if you get a cold sore, yet you have a disease that could be devastating, like COVID. And it should be shouted from the rooftops that there are treatments out there. And Dr. Fauci talks about his randomized controlled studies to make sure these things work. Well, there are such studies, and they've just been squelched. We don't know why. People can certainly guess why, but we don't know. But patients are starting to find out, and patients are asking questions. And what we'd like the answers to come directly from doctors. We don't want patients to have to look at materials on the internet that may or may not be true. We've had doctors testify in Senate hearings about certain medications that can nip COVID in the bud. Nobody's saying it will stop COVID completely, but can keep people from being so sick that they have to be hospitalized. And this information is being kept from patients.
Interesting. Well, listen, you know, in California here, we have, you know, we've had millions of cases of COVID in the state. And yet we're still shut down. We still have to wear masks in all these every time I go shopping, I got to wear a mask. What is that about? Why are we still doing that? What if you have several million cases, it seems like the protocols aren't working. So why are we still doing them?
Because politicians feel like they have to do something. And it's interesting that it's the lockdown and the mask. They're called non-pharmacological interventions and NPIs. And that's kind of now become a catchphrase where they're telling people, you have to do this, you have to do that. And the government is trying to mandate this. Why not let the doctors enter into this? And there's something ugly going on here. And we don't want this COVID outbreak to be used as a pretext, really, to get more government control over medicine. And obviously, Governor Newsom, our governor in California, can't say, oh, you take X drug. But he can say, you wear a mask, you stay on lockdown, no restaurants can open. And that he can say. But it gets us used to government controlling something about our health. And we can't let that happen.
No, I don't think we can let that happen. You know, and there's a lot of things, it seems like for me as a consumer, there's a lot of things that are just seem like out of my control right now. How do we, you know, how do we change the system? And Dr. Orient, let's talk to you about that. How do we change this system that seems to be, I don't know what we want to say, it seems just dysfunctional. What are the changes that we need to make? You said bring it down to the practice, to the doctor level earlier. Can we explore that a little more?
That we've had all of these healthcare proposals, but all of them are based on the assumption that the third party is going to pay for your medical care. And I really think that's the root of the problem, that people turn all their money over to the government or to the health plan and decide that that's supposed to pay for everything they need. Well, it'll pay only for what that plan or the government thinks they should have. And if they're getting too old or they're disabled or they're non-compliant, then their benefits could be cut off. And it allow the government to do away with truly private sector, where the patient and the a direct relationship that doesn't go through a third party. I think the situation is that the patients are not going to be in control of their medical care, and doctors are just going to be fancy data entry clerks.
Okay. So what are some solutions here to this? What are we going to do to change this up?
Well, patients are finding direct primary care practices, which are like a subscription practice. You pay a certain amount every month and have access to your doctor. There are still doctors who are the old-fashioned kind who do fee-for-service. That means I'll see you, an appointment, and you pay me. And we just do not file insurance claims. We do not do pre-authorizations. We do not say, mother, may I, to a person on the other end of the phone who doesn't know the patient, doesn't care about the patient, doesn't know anything about medicine, but who's following a procedure manual for what is going to be allowed.
Interesting. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. We'll come back and we're going to dive deeper into this medical crisis that we have going in this country. Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's so good to have you here. And I want to say I'm here with Drs. Marilyn Singleton. She's the past president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and also Dr. Jane Orient. All right, Marilyn, this censorship that's going on, is this going in, you know, we're talking about the censorship of, you know, by the mass social media companies that are the large social media companies that are really impacting, I think, a lot of our choices right now. Is that falling over into the doctors, too? Are you guys being censored in some ways?
Absolutely. And it's gotten to the point where, as bad as it is, I'm trying to look at the good side, where even lay people are noticing who's being censored, what's being censored. For example, when you have a Senate hearing testimony that's censored, we're not talking testimony where people are using the F word or the N word or anything else. We're talking testimony where doctors are talking about treatments that they've had successful in their practice for COVID. Why would you take that off? Just recently, testimony was taken off of Rand Paul's Twitter feed and his sites. This is outrageous. And we all know about free speech, that there are limits, etc. But these are well-known, board-certified physicians discussing what they have found has worked, things that have been published in peer-reviewed journals, and the powers that be have decided that the public should not hear it. And this is scary. And it's all part of this. We decide, you obey. And people are starting to catch the hypocrisy now. And that's the good part about it. People are starting to wonder, why was Walmart and Costco open, where you're mingling with strangers in close contact, but your small local corner store where you know the owner and know the folks, they're your neighbors that are going in there, why was that one closed? And everything seems to point to, we want the big guys to succeed and the little guys to fail. And that's what we have to fight.
We do have to fight that. I think we're empowering institutions and corporations instead of empowering the individual. And I think that's been the challenge right now. So, Dr. Jane, what's your point of view on this?
Well, I agree. The censorship is just startling. And patients, even if they ask their doctor a question, their doctor has a completely closed mind that he is listening only to what the National Institutes of Health says, which recommends virtually nothing. Well, now I guess they now allow for these very expensive monoclonal antibodies. The NIH was never supposed to make practice guidelines. It's only supposed to fund research. It's slow walking research on inexpensive, available, repurposed drugs, and pushing only research on things for which the committee members have conflicts of interest and own patents and stand to pull in royalties and other perks. And I think worse than just making patients frustrated is this may have cost at least 100,000 unnecessary deaths. Because people, unlike with every other illness that you can think of, they're being denied treatment that's been shown to work. And they say, well, the evidence is insufficient. Well, there are nearly 200 peer-reviewed studies on hydroxychloroquine, about 49 or 50 on ivermectin, that show that patients go to the hospital less often and they die less often. To get this many studies that are so favorable purely by chance is probability is one in a quadrillion. It's just infinitesimally small. And yet we're being told, don't pay attention to those studies. Listen to the randomized controlled trials, the ones that have been done. Some of them were fake, really, or were so badly designed. They were giving patients a toxic or even lethal dose of the medicine and then saying, oh, it hurts some people. Well, yeah, you would expect that.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the issues that I remember is that when this, we have some 2020 now, we can look back and see what we're doing right or wrong at this disease. One of the things we did early on was we geared up for putting everybody on a respirator when they came into the hospital. And I think, if I remember correctly, a whole bunch of people died as a result of that. We don't talk about that anymore. We don't talk about the mistakes we've made. So are we learning what we need to learn, Marilyn?
Well, we are learning some things. And certainly early on, a lot of people who dealt with critical care medicine know that going on the ventilator is not good for your lungs. And people were jumping right to that as the treatment rather than trying other things, CPAP, and just the good old-fashioned oxygen tents like they did in the polio days. And no one likes to admit their failures. You know, what is it? Success has many fathers and failure is an orphan. So no one is going to come out and say, yeah, we were wrong and we killed a lot of people putting them on the ventilator, that it was sort of a shotgun approach, that fear was overtaking good sense. And so people aren't being thrust on the ventilator.
Yeah, you know, I take issue with that. I think, you know, if we can't acknowledge what our failures have been, I don't think we can change it. I think we just go on to the next hit or miss trial and error and see if it, you know, if we're not learning from our errors, this is a big problem.
Well, I think we have learned from that error. It's just not public. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
people aren't coming out and saying we were wrong. We're going down a new path. And we certainly know politicians never like to do this. And most professionals don't like to, but we should. Yes, you're right.
You know, it's come out recently that the WHO is now saying vaccination should not be given to pregnant women nor people over, I think it's 75. And the CDC just recently came out and said that basically 6% of the hundreds of thousands of people that have died, there's only 6% that actually died only from the disease. Most of them had underlying conditions with that. So, Dr. Jane, I'm just wondering how do we trust? How do we trust our medical, organizations again? Because I mean, they're telling us that on one hand, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are dying from this disease, and then we're telling us on the other hand, hey, they're not dying. And by the way, here's a vaccination. And by the way, you shouldn't take it. We're so confused as consumers. What do we do here?
Well, restoring trust is going to be a really big problem, and I think we're beginning to recognize the corruption that's present in these agencies that we are relying on to protect us. Sure, we've been learning, but we've been learning very slowly. We've put people on ventilators. We did not do autopsies. It doesn't help to drive air in and out of the lung if the blood can't get to the alveoli, and the blood's not getting there because there were microscopic blood clots or even very large blood clots. We doing autopsies was discouraged. When we finally started doing them, we found out the tremendous role that coagulation of the blood is playing here. And we're also learning that some of these drugs that the government doesn't want to talk about help to keep the red blood cells from sticking together. But the NIH still does not recommend checking coagulation profiles in patients early in the disease. And this would be a key way of saving lives that do not need to be lost.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So I'm wondering what's going on. You know, I really am. I'm wondering why is the government agencies not opening it up to, you know, what happened to our doctors? I mean, it's like all of a sudden our doctors seem to be, they want to dumb down our doctors and just deliver whatever the higher ups want. It makes no sense to me, especially as a consumer.
It makes no sense to us who, this is why we became doctors. We want to help people. We want to do our best. We want to think. And one of the things that's scary to me is when you see some of the ways that medical students are being taught now, that they're taught to use these algorithms to make a decision. And there's no question that baseline algorithms can be a good thing. It helps put you in the right frame so you're not totally off base. But the whole point is you have to think. And that expression that I get so tired of, thinking outside the box. If somebody doesn't learn how to do that, if they don't learn how to say, maybe it's not really that way, patients, I feel, are doomed. And it's up to us right now to teach the younger folk, let patients know that there isn't just one way to do things. And it's always been that way in medicine. There's always been a diversity of thought and opinion. And now they've ruined this word diversity. Diversity means you think like I do. And that's just not the case. And medicine is not the place to play one size fits all, one recipe fits all, because every human body is different.
Well, you know, I want to get into the vaccinations in a minute and what's going on there and in a little deeper dive in the mass. But I want to ask, before I do, I want to ask Dr. Jane Orient, what is one solution that we can do for our doctors today to help empower them so that they start to be able to be more independent from these large the CDC and maybe they can't. I don't know, but I'm just wondering what can they do, Dr. Orient?
Well, we keep trying to tell them that there are alternatives to being a serf on the managed care plantation, that you can declare independence, you can go into private practice, you can do some innovative things like a direct primary care practice, but you need to recognize the importance of working for your patient. And patients need to recognize the need for supporting their doctors. They can't assume that if they think their doctor's services are worth nothing, that if they abandon their doctor for a $5 copay at the HMO, that the doctor's still going to be there for them. We need to support each other, and we need to recognize the importance of having someone who is working for you and not working for a corrupt system that actually makes more money if they do nothing for you.
Well, it's time to get back to science, and it's time to get back to really looking at the results of what our science is telling us. With that note, I've got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the science of the vaccination, the science of the masks, and maybe even the science of the censorship, a little more deeper dive. So we'll be right back.
Out to make a difference? Do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
Today, women in business are helping each other prosper like never before. by overcoming stereotypes, networking together, and sharing essential resources. Since 1991, Women's Wisdom, the premier business networking organization for purpose-driven, soul-inspired entrepreneurs, has helped women grow their businesses and become the best version of themselves. Women's Wisdom hosts online events with celebrity speakers, best-selling authors, and business experts dedicated to helping you, the small business owner, expand your possibilities, build new relationships, and get the right referrals. Take your business to the next level and join Women's Wisdom at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Our show today is talking about the doctors are speaking out, and we're talking about a lot of issues that are really important to you today in the healthcare system. So my guests are Dr. Marilyn Singleton and Dr. Jane Orient. And I want to take a little deeper dive in the, which way direction do we go here? Okay, let's talk about, first of all, Dr. Singleton, from your perspective, do we have enough evidence to use these vaccinations that are being forced upon everybody or thrust upon us? I guess they're not forced yet, but thrust on most people.
Certainly, there were studies done prior to these vaccines coming out. The two that are being used now are vaccines made using messenger RNA, sending RNA into the body to develop the spike protein. It's supposed to be very specific to this spike protein in the molecule. So yes, people have worked on that technology, but the big issue that people are seeing now is what are the long-term effects of this specific vaccine? We've seen people have side effects. We've seen people have so-called adverse reactions. And there's quite a few that have been reported. The question is, and people can look at it and people can make up their own mind and say, what's the risk of the vaccine, even with its unknowns, versus the risk of getting the COVID disease? And that's something that people should be able to determine for themselves. And I think what's starting to bother people now is the idea that we won't be able to determine that for ourselves, that somebody will tell us we must take a certain vaccination. And we're not even talking schools. In Los Angeles, the school district is mandating a COVID vaccine for children to go to school. And so those steps are being taken. And it's wrong. It hasn't been out long enough. And I'm sure Dr. Orient is more well-versed on this than I, as far as some of the specific things that have occurred with the vaccine. And whether it is worth the risk for everybody. Yeah. Again, let people make their own decision, but don't have someone else decide your personal risk-benefit ratio.
Well, is there science here? We're mandating vaccinations for children that are not even susceptible, basically, to the death of this disease. I mean, I don't know how many children have died, but it's been very few. So I'm really questioning that myself. But let me ask Dr. Orient, what's your take on what we're discussing here?
Well, I think that the vaccines have not been around long enough to know the long-term adverse effects. For example, if it has an effect on fertility, we won't know for several years. And are they putting out the results of animal testing on fertility? No, they're not. And they will tell you, and actually most vaccine inserts say that we do not know the effect on carcinogenesis, on mutagenesis, that's birth defects, or impairment of fertility. We just really don't know. And so to subject young people to this without fully informed consent, I think is a very it's a disastrous, it's certainly unethical. Will people even be able to find out what the side effects are? There have been 151 deaths after the vaccine reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. How complete that reporting is, we don't know. We do know that in general, reporting to VAERS is very small. But Dr. McCullough, when he was trying to follow up on that, found out, oh, by the way, the database is now crashed. So he can't do a follow-up. Someone else said maybe there were 5,000 neurological examples of neurological damage. The Bell's palsy or the facial paralysis is one of them, but there have been people, including an 18-year-old girl who's using a walker after she got the vaccine, having been previously healthy. How frequent is this? We really don't know. But if your risk of dying from the disease or having a bad effect from the disease is very small, how big a risk are you willing to take from the vaccine? And then if instead of the vaccine, you could get prompt early treatment, that would greatly reduce the benefit of the vaccine because you have an alternative to it, something that's been around for nearly 100 years and it's been taken by 100 millions of people instead of by 2 months by, you know, 20,000 or so.
Wow. Okay. That, that really, you know, you just got to wonder what, where we're going with this because, you know, you know, I don't have the statistic here, but I do know that the, under the, age of, what is it, 18, it's very, very low, percentages of them getting, you know, severely ill. You know, my question is, what happened to, you know, we started wearing these masks because if we could save even one life, we should wear a lot of mask, right? And yet we're now in this time frame where it seems like it's okay to a few, you know, 171 people die, or it's okay if 5,000 people get, Bell's palsy or facial paralysis. Where are we? Where are we as a society when that seems to be okay? And yet, it makes no sense. Doctor, either doctor would take that.
Well, one thing I can say, this is the advantage of keeping people in the dark. If you put out information that you want them to know, I mean, this certainly came out with masks. Oh, wear a mask. It certainly seems kind of logical. Okay, it'll stop the virus. Well, of course it won't stop the virus. The virus is submicroscopic. And interestingly, there were multiple studies done on masks since 1945. Every single study showed that they didn't stop influenza. And magically in 2020, they started trying to come up with studies that showed that masks decrease COVID. Well, the virus is about the same size. So why did they suddenly work for COVID but not for influenza? And a lot of this is just not wanting the public to know. There was a huge study, a Danish study that we'd all been waiting for. It was finished in June. It wasn't published. And we, behind the scenes, guessed it wasn't published because it didn't have the outcome that the powers that be wanted. And indeed, the outcome was that the people who did not wear masks had almost exactly the same amount of COVID infection, which was very low, than people who did wear masks. So no difference, did no good. And it's an activity they can tell people to do so people can feel like, oh, I'm doing something. And the government can say, yes, we've told you to wear this mask and now you're getting better. Or now you're not getting sick. Unfortunately, it didn't matter whether you wore a mask or not. People still got sick. And we have graphs from not only all over the country, but all over the world, where you can see no difference. And in fact, in some cases, worse, where people have had a mask mandate. And certainly there's a UCSF physician, Dr. Monica Gandhi, who does a lot of work on this. And even Dr. Gandhi, who says to wear masks, but she says that perhaps it can just decrease the amount of the inoculum. And she talks about getting a tiny dose of the virus and that acting like how people used to prick you with some live smallpox. And then you start to develop your own immunity. And this ends up being a very important factor in this whole disease, that we have to develop deep immunity, memory immunity, the kind that lasts a long time, not just 6 months, which is yet another problem with the vaccine. Who knows how long the immunity is going to last? And already people are saying people would likely need a booster in a few months after you've gone through this whole thing. So,
well, and let me just qualify this for my audience. You're not an anti-vaxxer. You're somebody that's concerned about what's going on with this current vaccination that we have and the protocols and also the mask. Is that accurate?
Exactly. And, you know, it comes down to the idea of informing patients. And no, I certainly vaccines have their place. And I grew up in the polio age, and it was certainly a boon to have the polio vaccine. So it's not all vaccines. It's the trend of this idea that suddenly we can force you to do something. Suddenly we can keep you in the dark about the entire picture. Just give, as a patient, tell them the whole picture. Tell them the whole story. Patients and doctors in an individual discussion should be able to make that decision. And this is when something Dr. Orient was talking about, this idea of having a doctor who knows you, who you can speak with, who you can speak honestly with, and that your entire conversation won't suddenly be uploaded to the great vaccine god in the sky. And this is scary. It's scary to doctors. And a little off, this idea of someone knowing something, the idea that if you get a COVID test, that someone has to know. That we need COVID tests that are like pregnancy tests, where you can do it in the privacy of your own home and not feel like you're going to be uploaded into a database, because more people will test themselves and act accordingly than if they think that somebody's going to suddenly raid their house if their test is positive.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, Dr. Orient, what's your take on this, what Marilyn's commenting on here?
Well, I think that it's just absolutely true that people are being railroaded into thinking that the vaccine and the mask, and now it's two masks or maybe three masks, is the answer. And we're not even going to allow you to think about getting early outpatient treatment. We're not even going to tell you about the importance of having adequate vitamin D levels. I mean, if you're vitamin D deficient, as most people probably are, you're four times as likely to die of COVID if you get it. But even that gets censored from social media. So you have to wonder, well, why are we trying to direct people into the one and only solution? I mean, the masks are failing. I mean, the rates are still going up and the vaccine is just now coming out. What's going on here?
What is going on? That is the question. Well, you know, I know me personally, early on, I've talked to both of you and several of my other doctor friends, and I got on a protocol of zinc, of D3, vitamin C, several other protocols. And, you know, plus exercise and eating right and healthy and getting sunshine and going. And, you know, our family has followed those protocols. So we haven't, colloidal silver, that's the other one I've been using. We haven't had any challenges. So there are protocols for prevention here, too. Is that absolutely correct, Marilyn or Dr. Singleton?
Yes. And, you know, the things you mentioned, the other that we can add to that is quercetin, which is a bioflavonoid. That's what's in onions and garlic. And it's quercetin plus zinc has been shown to very strongly inhibit the replication of the virus. And that's what you think, you know. Yes, they say you can get sick from one virus, but there's probably a minimum number of viruses that you actually have to get to make you sick. And if you nip it in the bud, stop it from replicating once it, even if it gets inside your body, then you can do very well. There's so many other things. Now it's coming out that half-strength peroxide, in fact, the dentists are using it. If you go to the dentist's office, they have you wash your mouth out with half-strength peroxide. The ingredients in Listerine that even if somebody doesn't want to sit there and gargle with Listerine all day, certainly if you're going to go out, I do it. Go to the store when I get back from the grocery store. I'll gargle and wash my mouth out with the Listerine, you know, when you've exposed yourself to a group of strangers. I mean, we can do some very basic things and use our common sense. And this is what bothers me is we're expected for common sense to just go out the window. Walking down the street and having someone veer way out into the street where they can get hit by a car just to avoid you because you don't have a mask on and you're breathing fresh air. That people have lost a little bit of their minds.
Yeah, I think that's right. People have lost their minds. I think, from my point of view, it would be a really good thing if somebody wore a mask when they were sick. So I would know you're sick and I could stay away from you. But we've got that all mixed up. Listen, I got to take a quick break and we'll be right back taking a deeper dive into these issues that are really impacting all of us.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Well, our show today is The Doctors Speak Out, and we'll get right back to that show in just a second. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you logging in and letting your friends know about our show on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, if you'll follow us on YouTube, that would be great. Subscribe to us. We really appreciate you doing that. I also want to give a quick shout out to some of my networks, BBS Network. Thank you so much for what you do. UK Health Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, Podopolis, E360 TV, Flix TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve your problems, uplift your spirit, and become the best version of yourself. I hope you'll check them out. And I just want to thank all of you one more time for just being a subscriber here and listening to our shows and telling your friends. Thank you so much. All right, I want to get back to my guest. We have Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and we also have Dr. Jean Orient. We're discussing some of the critical issues today in our healthcare system and what's going on in our nation. And we've come to a place where I'm wondering, what is next? You know, what is your vision, Dr. Orient? What's your vision now, you know, for the future? Do we have a bright future or something or not? What's happening?
Oh, well, I think we're at a crossroads. We could even have either have a great awakening where people decide to take back control of their own medical care, or we could just proceed right down the path that we're on now to just turning over control of our lives to these big corporate and government entities, the public-private partnership, where we have the private sector, which has no respect for or no obligation to respect constitutional rights, in collaboration with the government, which has endless deep pockets, and they have prisons and guns to enforce their will on people, and they're doing it. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to say, well, yeah, we know there's a little bit of risk in life, and we don't trust these big corporate government things to tell us the truth or to really have our best interests at heart?
I hear you, man. Dr. Singleton, what's your message right now to the world, to the governments? what are you thinking right now?
Well, we're looking at it this way. COVID has set the stage for having us accept restrictions and mandates that we don't agree with, and allowing us to accept that we're a bad person if we don't go along with it. And I think Dr. Orient is right, that this could be a turning point one way or the other. You decide, wait a minute, they have gone too far. And like the movie Network said, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's what my message is, to let people inside are saying this. People are saying this amongst each other and in small groups and on these little Zoom meetings and chat rooms and whatnot. Say it out loud. Just say no. And it's time that we do say it's our body, our life, our doctor. We want to have that relationship back. We want our doctor to be able to prescribe within safety, which is doctors always do. They aren't going off willy-nilly just giving you things that don't work. And they never have. But magically now doctors have lost their good judgment? No, of course not. And I tell patients, find a good doctor if you don't have one. If you can find one, find an independent doctor, one that's not in one of the big healthcare systems, where they'll have more leeway to have an open, honest discussion with you about where your health is going and what to do with COVID and beyond, because COVID isn't going to last forever. And we're always going to have other viruses. So this is, at core, we kind of just look at COVID as a symptom that there's a bigger disease, and that disease is the disease of stripping us of our individuality and choice.
And the bigger disease is fear and lack of courage and lack of wisdom and understanding about, you know, what this is about, your own health, personal health care, and taking responsibility. I think we have to take 100% responsibility for our health care, ourselves, we got to take it back because we're turning it over to systems that and people, institutions, I should say, not people, institutions that are trying to. It's a one solution for everybody situation, and that's not how life is. That's not how it works. Dr. Orient, any final thoughts?
I'd just like to second what Dr. Singleton had to say, that we really do need to take back control of our lives and decide that we're just going to say no and not take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we don't, what are the consequences? And I'm asking you that because you've been here for a while. You've been on this planet for a while. You've got some wisdom developed. And what would you say is if we don't go that course, what's going to happen?
Well, we've already seen with COVID that at least 100,000 people have died needlessly because of censorship, because of fear by their physicians, because of putting our trust in government with measures that we know don't work, like masks and lockdowns that may even make the situation worse, instead of saying, look, there is good science out there, the things about mouthwash and things, there is evidence to support this. We're not just making this up. In contrast to the mask, where this Danish study that she talked about was consistent with having a 26% increase in infections. I mean, we really have to think for ourselves because the people we've entrusted to do our thinking and are dictating to us, they have conflicts of interest. They're not reliable. They're not any smarter than we are. And it's our body. We need to take responsibility for it.
Well, I love that. Okay. Bright future, Marilyn.
It's a bright future if we work to make it that way. We still have some control. We still have ourselves. We still have our minds, our brains. We can read and we can listen to people like you and have shows that are trying to get different information out there. And so while we still have it within our power, let's act on it. And it's go out there, get your vitamins, get your regimens, and keep yourself healthy. And we can do it. And we can show that it's within us, just like with many other medical problems, it's within us to start the healing.
Got to empower ourselves. We got to have the courage to take responsibility for our own lives, is what I heard you say, and really start to look at what's working, what's not working in our own lives, with our doctors, with our institutions, and start to make those changes. Ladies, thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Orient, Dr. Marilyn Singleton. I hope you guys will come back and we'll do this again. This was really good, and I think we'll have I think we've put out some good information today. So thank you so much for everything that you do and keep on keeping on. All righty. Until next time, would like you to, let's see, what I'd like you to do. I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel I mentioned earlier. And also, I'm always interested in what you have to say. So go to viewer@voicesofcourage.com. Email me there and get me all the information that you want to see on our show. And from my point of view, I hope you have the courage to keep seeing the unseeable, knowing the unknowable, and doing the impossible. Take care.